Good morning, Mill City. So good to be with you. Happy August and happy Sunday. So today we are coming around our word for the year. We started off the year in a series called Joy because the word for 2021 is joy. Every year we lean into and ask God for a word for our house. And as we started off this year, sensed that God was asking us to lean into joy. And so we started off a few weeks in January, and we're revisiting that now here for the next couple of weeks here in August. We've been landing on and drawing out of John chapter 15, verse 11, where Jesus is describing and talking to his disciples, and he says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So a big question for us, big question for you. Does that describe you? That your joy is complete? And the people that I talk to, and if I'm honest about myself, there's times that that does not seem to describe me. Joy, yes. Complete, not so much. Joy, sometimes. So what do we need to do? I would encourage you, if you didn't hear, weren't a part of the messages in the very beginning of this year, to revisit those. You can go to our website, listen or watch. And we talked about the things that we need to do to cultivate joy in our lives. In our front yard at our house, we, several years ago, had some tulips planted. And we have tulip plants that come up in our yard or in our garden every year. But you know what we don't really end up having? Tulip flowers. I know it sounds really crazy, but we have these tulips that come up, but we have these rabbits that eat the flowers before we're really able to enjoy them. So we have these tulips plants that stick up. We got the leaves, we got the little center stalk, and no flower every year because we have these rabbits. See, we can cultivate, have the soil and have something pop up in our lives. We can have joy being cultivated in our lives, but we also can have things that can steal and undermine our joy, just like the rabbits with the tulips. And so today and in these upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about some joy stealers, some things that undermine it, even if we're cultivating and trying to live into joy. We live in a world where we're bombarded with the message that we are missing something. To be happy and satisfied, we need more things, less wrinkles. We need better vacations and newer cars, more unique experiences, smarter kids, and fewer troubles. And marketing just accentuates it. Whether it's a mattress or a meal or a memory, you need, and fill in the blank, you need this in order to be fulfilled and happy. Experience the joy of life. All of these messages that are coming at us compare our life to someone else's, or compare our lives to a fantasy of what we think life could or should be. The president, Theodore Roosevelt, said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." So today I want to lean into the idea of comparison and how it undermines our joy. In his book, The Progress Paradox, Greg Easterbrook, the author, explores the paradox that we have more when we have more. We have more of everything in the 21st century. We have more wealth. We have better medical care. We have more prosperity, more opportunity, more than almost any generation in the history of the world. And yet, we're not any happier. I love what Jim Carrey says, the actor. He says, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed so that they can see that it's not the answer." So if having more doesn't bring more joy, and actually comparing our lives to the more that we think we need or want actually steals our joy, what does bring joy? I want us to bring our attention to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What is Paul saying? He's saying comparison steals joy and contentment fuels it. Contentment fuels joy. I love what Gary Thomas, the author of the book Authentic Faith, says. He says, gives a definition of contentment. He says, contentment is nothing more than soul rest. It is satisfaction, peace, assurance, and sense of well-being cultivated by pursuing the right things. It's this idea that we can kind of just rest in what is. We're content, not striving for this and that, and therefore discontent with where we're at. So I want to give us two ways and explore two ways that we can cultivate contentment in our lives to get rid of comparison. The first one is to reduce social media intake. Pretty simple, and you might say, oh, I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing what my friends do. I believe it. I'm on social media, and there can be a benefit. But social media makes comparison easier than ever. And what are we comparing? We are comparing the best angles of our lives. The best angles of the way that we look, the best angles of our house, our best angles of our room, the best angles of our car, the best angles of our vacations. And it is a breeding ground for discontent. I mean, think about it. When you're on your phone and you're looking through social media or on your computer and looking through Facebook, I mean, what's going through your head? If we're really honest, I wish I was a part of that. I'm missing out. Wow, their kids look really amazing. I mean, look at what they're doing. They're in this sport and, oh, they're doing this band and they're traveling here and, it's not so good. Oh, and look at that vacation. Wow, that looks amazing. Our vacations are kind of lame. Oh, and look how pretty she is. Look how great he's looking. Wow. And we focus on something that someone else is doing. We focus on really the best aspects of something else that somebody's doing. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found that it is hard to run the race that God has given to me when I'm focusing on someone else's. And we have these things that start rolling through our minds in the ways that we think about our life in comparison to others. Interesting fact and study that was done, the iPhone came out in 2007, really putting so much in our hands, a mobile camera, and it was able to connect us to Facebook. Facebook launched in 2006. Instagram then launched in 2010. And so it became so easy for us to capture our lives and share our lives. And in the last 15 years, the worldwide rate of eating disorders has doubled. And there have been a number of studies that connect or explain that, showing that we feel more alone and worse about ourselves after spending time on social media. See, because when we measure ourselves in comparison to others, we often conclude, I don't measure up, which translates into, I'm not enough. I need more in order to be enough. I need to look a certain way. I need to go certain places. My kids need to look a certain way. But God wants you to live free from the lie that having more makes you more. See, the reality and the truth is you are enough. And so the goal for each one of us, and the reason we would reduce our social media intake, the reason we would want to fight comparison and not engage in that which is going to steward and cultivate discontent, is we want to enjoy what is and steward reality well. Doesn't mean we can't have goals. doesn't mean that we don't want more for our kids or for our lives, but there's something about wanting more and feeling like we are not enough. So reduce your social media intake. And the other part, the other step that we can take in order to fight off comparison and increase our joy is to increase gratitude. It says in 1 Thessalonians, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, he says, rejoice always. Here's a way that he's saying, live in joy. Pray continually. In verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for you and for me to give thanks in all circumstances, in the good circumstances and the bad circumstances, in the hard circumstances and the easy circumstances. Thank God. Thank God. So you might say, I'm in a rough situation right now, Aaron. What do I have to be thankful for? We live in Northern Colorado, everybody. I think we can be thankful for that. I used to live in Oklahoma, and I can tell you that Northern Colorado in the summer versus Oklahoma in the summer is amazing. It might be hot right now in Colorado, but it is an oven in Oklahoma right now. I'm really grateful for where we live. We have breath in our lungs. Family. Mill City Church, I'm so grateful for our church. The scriptures. God has given us life. He's given us Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for, even if there's a lot of things in our lives that might not be going well and we might not be too excited about. And actually, I have some bad news for you. No matter if life is going well or if life is not going well, there will always be more. There's always going to be a gap between what is and what could be. So the question for all of us is, will we focus on the gap or the gains in our lives? Will we focus on what we don't have and what we wish we had and what we want to have, or will we focus on what we do have and what we have been given and how we have grown? There's been study after study after study, and one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul, I think, that it's confirmed, what the Apostle Paul says here is confirmed through studies, is that we need to be thankful always in all circumstances, and this is God's will for our lives, because he knows this is what brings joy and contentment to our lives. One more passage of scripture in regards to contentment, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The writer of Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, I think this is an interesting verse because he says, be content with what you've got. But he doesn't say, because I will provide for you. He doesn't say, because I'm going to take care of you, because you're going to have enough, because you're going to be able to pay your bills. No, he doesn't say that. He says, this is why you can be content, because I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. It's not because of what you have. It's because of who you have. It's because we have Jesus. It reminds me of what Augustine, the church father, said. He said, Lord, you made us for yourself. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. It's about not just, okay, I've got enough. It's about having contentment in my soul. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Maybe the reason we're having a difficulty finding joy, maybe the reason you can't seem to quite experience the joy that God promises to his people is because maybe you haven't been in God's presence in a while. Maybe you've been chasing after a bunch of things except chasing after Jesus, to be with him in his presence. See, if we could just boil it all down, here's the key to contentment. Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Trusting Jesus. It's strength from Jesus. It's being with Jesus. That is the secret. That is the key. See, Paul, in all of his writings to the Philippians, his writing to the Colossians, to the Galatians, and so on, Paul knew, and he was so satisfied in Jesus and with Jesus that he was willing to forsake all things, count all things as loss, in order to know Christ and serve him. And he could be content in any circumstance, whether he had a lot or a little, whether it was easy or difficult. Why? Because I have Jesus. And he says, if I have Jesus, I have enough. So my question for you today is, can you say that? I have Jesus, so I have enough. Jesus is enough, and therefore my soul is at rest. I am content. It's a big question for all of us. I would want you to ask you to not just think about this for these few moments, but actually take that and maybe take some time and sit with that a bit this next week. Maybe have a conversation with somebody over coffee. Jump in and talk about that in the online city group, or in your city group, wherever you might find yourself. Maybe it's a discussion around your family table. Because it is a promise that God offers to us. Jesus is saying your joy can be complete. So can I encourage you to take a next step this next week? Sit with that question. Is Jesus enough? Do I find my contentment because I have Jesus? And maybe your answer to that, maybe you know the answer to that right now, and your answer is no. And maybe it's because you've never put your faith in Jesus. We're a church of next steps, and so our hope is that everybody would recognize maybe that they have we all have a lot of steps to take, but we can only take the next one. And so maybe your next step here today is to say yes to Jesus. To say, Jesus, I give you my life. My soul is restless. My life, I'm always looking for more, striving for more, and needing to be more. And Jesus says, I made you. I have a design for you. And yes, I have made you for more, but that doesn't make you not enough. And so for you today, maybe your next step is to put your trust and your faith in Jesus. Maybe for the first time, or the first time in a long time. If that's you today, can I encourage you to take that next step by just offering a prayer of surrender, a prayer that says, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my desires and my dreams, and I give you my restlessness. I give you my anxiousness. I give you my concerns. I give you my fears. I give you my ambitions. I give you my desires. I give you my relationships. I give you my finances. I give you all of these things because I want my trust to be in you. I want to experience the fullness of joy in this life, and I want my soul to be at rest. If that's you, you just said yes to Jesus today. You just made the most important decision of your life. Maybe for some of you today, your next step is to reduce your social media intake. Maybe you need to go on a social media detox. You need to cut it all off. Go jump off social media for the next week or two, or maybe it's a month or two. I don't know what it might be, but somehow cut it back. If you find yourself saying, oh, I couldn't do that, that actually might be a good indicator that you actually need to. Maybe for some of you, it's to increase gratitude. Maybe find a journal. Start a gratitude journal every day, stating something you're grateful for. Could be something big, could be something small, could be a conversation you had, could be a person, whatever it might be. Start cultivating and strengthening the gratitude muscle, focusing in on the gains, not just the gaps. Because it is true, we can have fullness of joy. It is true, our joy can be complete. And so that's my prayer for you, that's my prayer for me, that's my prayer for our house. And so wherever it is, whatever your next step is, let me just take a moment, and I want to pray for you, that the Holy Spirit might illuminate what that next step is, as well as empower you to take it. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you've promised to us. And God, we want to be people that exude and overflow with joy, no matter the circumstance, no matter how great or difficult. And so, God, we don't want to manufacture joy. It's not about putting on a plastic smile, but instead about joy coming from the deepest places of our lives. And really coming from the source of joy, coming from you. And so, Holy Spirit, would you help us to know what it is that we need to do in order to eliminate or reduce the things that might steal our joy? Help us to be people that live into the fullness of joy. God, we need you, we love you, we honor you, and we trust you. This we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.